You're listening to the Dillo's Dojo podcast, hosted by Dylan Dillo Smith, Midwestern Ontario one and only MMA podcast, where we interview MMA fighters and voice actors like Sergeant Frank Woods.
What is up, everybody? It is Dillo, and welcome to another episode of the Dillo's Dojo podcast. This is episode 59. I'm starting to lose count. That's bad. I'm bad. Oops. Anyway, today we have a bit to talk about. We have a little tidbit to kind of cover in the first half of the podcast, something wacky that my Canadian government did this weekend. Not only that, though, I wanted to do something fun, actually. I wanted to do something fun for the first half of the podcast. The last couple episodes, I've been kind of attacking the audience in a way, and I've been kind of just doing soapbox rants. And that's not me. Like, I'll do rants, but not rants about, like, serious issues. I hardly ever do that. And you guys know me. I don't really like to touch on these issues unless I really, really feel I need to. But I've been kind of on a soapbox the last two episodes, and that's not right. Like, I think you guys deserve something fun in the first half. So after I kind of cover what happened in the Canadian government this week, it'll be a quick little tidbit. I thought it would be nice and fun to actually tell a couple of work stories. So for those who don't know, I am a dispensary technician that, in layman's terms, I sell weed legally. And, you know, as a retail worker in that type of environment, I deal with some kooky characters, and I won't be using any names, but I will be telling some stories of some more belligerent customers and just some more wacky customers, some more goofy customers, and some more sleazy customers. A lot of it might sound like complaining, but there will be a couple of customers that I am going to gush about because I actually do have some favorite customers. But also on the podcast, we are going to be covering last week's UFC event. We had an insane UFC event. Especially the main card was incredible. The only unfortunate downside was how the main event ended. The main card seemed like it was too good to be true with how it was going. So obviously something had to go wrong with the MMA gods. That's just how it is. But anywho, we got our UFC event, and it was nice. It was great. And we'll cover that. We also had some Dana White's Contender Series this week. Recently. Huge, huge thing happened last night. 6 people got their contracts. That's huge. That hardly ever happens. So, and 2 losers. 2 losers got their contracts, surprisingly. So we'll talk about that in a bit. But first up, without further ado, I guess, I'll just tell some work stories. So, beginning of this year, I got a job as a dispensary technician, you know, selling weed legally because it's legal here in Canada. It's legal to the same regard as alcohol in a way. So, like, you have to be a certain age to buy it. But, like, once you're that certain age and you have ID to prove it, you can go in and you can buy it fucking willy-nilly. There is a limit. There is a legal limit on how much you can carry on you per person. Like, you could go and have pounds and pounds and pounds in your home. But if you're, like, caught out and about driving around with more than an ounce on your person or more than 30 grams on your person, it's a huge no-no here. But, you know, besides those little laws, it's basically like selling alcohol here. It's like being a typical retail worker. And with that being a typical retail worker, there are some weird stories, crazy stories, and some great stories, all mixed. And I think where I want to start off is a quick one, but it was the first ever story I was able to tell. I think it was like maybe the fourth or the fifth shift maybe that I was working. I think fourth. And I was working with a coworker of mine who's also a streamer, Moon King Bean. And it was the morning shift. It was a Sunday. We were getting like normal customers. We usually get like typical normal people, you know, typical like residents, you know, old people, middle-aged people, professionals, stuff like that. You'll get your, you know, every now and then you'll get your typical scummy on welfare. But for the most part, you get, like, your typical normal people who are just coming off, you know, they're trying to enjoy their Sunday. But these two guys came in, and, like, it was this smaller, like, almost disheveled, like, meth head looking white guy, and, like, this tall, very, like, well-looked black guy. Like, he didn't look like a meth head like the white guy did. He looked like he was well put together, like, normal person. And they came in, and, like, I was serving them. I think I was talking to the black guy. I was asking what he was wanting. I think we were looking through the menu, and he was, like, kind of gazing through the menu, asking me questions. And as I was serving this guy, his buddy was asking about the drinks. And the situation with the drinks is they're in a fridge, but, like, the fridge is behind the desk, like, behind the point of sale, like, the tills. So for you to actually, like, get a drink, I would have to actually do it. I would actually have to go and get it and, like, point to the drink you want, and you'd be like, yep, I want that one, grab it. And you can get a good look at the, like, at the fridge. So it was like, it's no big deal that it's behind the till. Like, you still get a nice, good look at the fridge. But this guy took it upon himself. He thought it would be a good idea to just waltz behind the till behind me and put his fucking face, like, so goddamn close up to the fucking fridge, he might as well have been making out with it. And not only that, but, like, I turn around real quick, and I'm like, sir, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I'm just looking at the drinks. So then he proceeds to try to open the locked fridge. It, mind you, it's locked. It's got a padlock on it that needs a key, and it's latched. So he's like, he's trying to reef this fucking door open. And at this point, Bean, like, Moon King Bean, looks over, and he, like, pipes up, because he was dealing with a customer as well. It was a busy rush. It was a Sunday morning rush. We were dealing with customers. So he's, like, looking at this guy too, like, what, like, going like, what the fuck are you, like, what are you doing? So he speaks up. He's like, hey man, you can't be behind here. You can't be reefing on the door like that. He didn't say reefing, but he's like, you can't be pulling on the door like that. Please, like, go around. And as he says that, Buddy kind of gets a little upset about it. He's like, okay, whatever, man, whatever. He's like, I can't look at the drinks, making a big deal about it. So it got to the point where Bean was kind of like, you know, if you don't go back onto the other side of the till, like, we're going to have to kick you out. And his friend, like, looked so embarrassed, because I went back to, like, serving him, and he, like, looks at me, and he, like, looks at me with the most embarrassed look in his eye. Like, he could barely maintain eye contact with me. And he's like, I'm sorry. And I was like, no, no, it's okay. You can't control your friend, buddy. And I, like, I cashed him out. They left. It was like, that was wild. And then the next crazy story was, it was, I want to say, like, I was maybe 2 months in working at this place now. So it was, like, into the spring. I was working with a different person who's no longer working there. He gave his 2 weeks, left a while ago. And all the power to him. I'm honestly, like, I doubt he's listening to this, but, like, I hope you, I, you know who you are once you hear this story. I hope you're doing the best. Like, I hope wherever life has taken you since you've left the company, you're doing incredible. But anyway, continuing on with the story, it was him and I, we were doing a night shift. It was the closing shift. So we're doing the closing shift, and, like, everything was going fine. It was, like, a chill-ass closing shift. We managed to get everything done. It was the shift before, like, an inventory count. So, like, I think the most we had to really do was, like, count how much we have in the boxes in the vault, put a sticker, write a number. So then, like, when the people come in the morning to do inventory, there's the amount that's, like, in the boxes. If they really have to double count, they can double count and they can fix it. But, like, the amounts that are in the boxes should be on the boxes, and it makes it easier for them. So we were just kind of, like, doing that. It was, like, one of those chill nights. And an online order came in, and on the POS, it said that it wasn't paid for. It had to be paid for in store. But so when the woman came into the store, apparently on her end of the screen, it said that it was paid for. I don't know what happened. On our end of the screen, it wasn't. She came in. Okay, mind you, this woman who paid, who, like, made this online order when she came in, she had already come in with, like, this anger. You know what I mean? Like, she had been already aggressive before she even came in. She was waving her arms around. She was already, like, raising her voice, talking in a very quick and, like, super aggressive tone. I was like, you know, you could already tell she was in a bad mood. She was already, like, looking to kind of just yell at someone, bitch at someone, rant to someone. So, like, you could tell she wasn't having a good day. And it was very obvious she was looking for somebody to just yell at. She came in, very angry, came up, asked for her order. I was right beside my coworker, who I was closing with at the time, my TL. He was basically I'm just going to say my TL from this point forward, because this was back when I was a bud tender before I became a key holder. So my T holder, or my T holder, yeah, my T holder. Fuck me, man. My TL, he was dealing with the order. I was on the other POS doing an audit of the menu, like making sure everything was like good, it's compliant, so we're not getting in trouble, we're not getting any big ass fines, because the Canadian government is very strict about like how to the T in detailed you are with like your weed, the THC. Like, you cannot have anything even slightly wrong or you'll face a fine. So I was making sure everything was nice and good with our menu and things were all right. And she came in, she was, you know, ranting and asked for her order. And, he, you know, my TL was setting everything up and he got ready to, like, pay her out. And he's like, how are you paying today? And she's like, oh, it's already paid for. And he looks at, double checks the receipt, because we get, like, a receipt from the Dutchie printer that actually tells us the method of payment, whether it's actually been paid online, and then it gives us the last four digits of the card that was used so we can like confirm and stuff. And it didn't give us that. It said debit. Like, it said it was gonna be paid in store by debit, because you can choose that. And so this, I guess, when like she was like, I paid for it online, and he just kind of was like trying to be nice. He's like, no, it says here you didn't. And then she got really angry and started yelling at him, saying, like, no, I have an email saying I did pay for it. I have a confirmation email. And, like, the whole time I'm thinking in my head, like, what if the confirmation email is just confirming that her order was made? Like, it wasn't her paying online. It was a confirmation of, hey, your order was made. You know, it's just to confirm that, like, the store got it. But, like, she was going on and on about how, like, she had confirmation that she paid for it, that it said on the site that she paid for it, that she had to enter her card details, which I don't think she did, because if that was the case, it would have been paid online. But it could have easily been a mistake on our end. And so, like, he even said that, too. He's like, honestly, ma'am, it could be a mistake on our end. Our POS could be showing us something different. So, like, honestly, like, I could get the merchant on the phone, we'll figure it out, and we'll get a confirmation, then I can ring you through. And she got very angry, like, angrier, and was like, yeah, get the merchant on the phone. Get the fucking merchant on the phone. And, like, said, like, you call the number on the back. I know how these things work. I'm in retail. Mind you, that little tidbit of her being in retail, that's going to be important for the story a little later. Just hold on to that little tidbit. So, as we're dealing with her, she, like, she's getting angrier and angrier, and we're trying to be as nice as possible. My TL is trying to explain, like, nicely that, you know, it might be a mistake on our system, so, like, we'll get on it, and we'll get the owner. And, like, as he's trying to explain this, she puts her finger, basically, in his face to kind of, like, shut him up, and then continues to start ranting at him. And, like, you could just see his attitude go from, like, all right, let's try to figure this out, let's try to, like, rectify this mistake, to, oh, no, you didn't fucking just do that. I'm not helping you now. And it was the funniest little shift of mood that I've ever seen from him. And he just kind of, like, put his hands on his hips, gave her this stare, and just stared her down as she, like, ranted on and on and on. And he straight up, just after she was done, he's like, you done? He's like, okay. If you have a problem with it, I can get our owner on the phone. And she's like, yeah, you get your owner on the phone. So he went to the back to get the phone, because both of the phones were in the back at the time. I think we were just traveling back and forth because we were getting constant calls, people just inquiring about stuff. So he went to go get the phone that was in the back. And as he does that, she, like, looks over at me and starts, like, repeating the same shit she was telling him, but being nicer to me. saying like, I got an email confirming it. Like, I could show you the email. And I just shook my head. And I was like, nope, it's fine. We'll figure it out. And like, it was like almost like a tone I gave her of like, no, I don't fucking care. And so she walks out. He comes back with the phone, with our owner on the phone. She's not there. We wait like 2 minutes. He hangs up with the owner, tells him, all right, well, I'll call you back if she comes back in. So it turns out when she left, she was just outside the store ranting to the customers, like trying to besmirch our name. Because a customer, one of our regulars, came in before she came back in and was like, hey, there's a young girl outside ranting about you guys, like just saying some wild shit. And I just started laughing because my TL was dealing with the regular. And I'm doing my audit. And I just started bursting out laughing. And I was like, yeah, she's not happy because our system may have made a mistake. And so she like really wants her order and we're just trying to figure it out. But she doesn't want to be cooperative. And our regular just was like, ah, okay. Like almost like, I get it. It was so funny. And then so he leaves. She comes back in and tells, and he like, my TL's just like, I had the owner on the phone for you and we waited for you. Do you want me to go get him again? And she's like, yeah, go get your owner on the phone again. And then as he goes to do that again, this time she doesn't even say a word. She just gets somebody on the phone. She gets on the phone with somebody and then just storms out again as my TL goes into the back to get the phone again. He comes back out and he like looks at me. He's like, where'd she go? I was like, she got on the phone with somebody and stormed out. And he just like shook his head and like apologized to our owner. He's like, she left again. I'll call you back if she like comes back. And he's like, no. If she comes back, give me her number. I want her number. I'm going to call her myself. So he hung up. She comes back in and like this time my TL's like pissed. My TL's like getting very frustrated. He's like, ma'am, I literally just had the owner on the phone with for you. It was a lot quicker this time and you just stormed out. Like, do you want to get this figured out or not? And she's like, yeah, I want to get it figured out. He's like, okay, well, what's your number? I'm going to give it to our owner so he can talk to you directly so you can stop storming out on us. And it was so funny. So he ended up giving the number to our owner. Our owner called her. She went outside to deal with it. Turns out the conversation with the owner went completely different. She goes on and on about how this is like a scam, like how we're ripping her off of her money and she needs to get her money back on her credit card and that she's in finance and she knows how this works. Remember that little tidbit I told you to keep on to earlier in the story about how she works retail? Yeah, she completely flipped it and said now she works finance. She works in accounting. All right. When our owner called back to like let us know what happened, I told him straight up, like, no, that's not what she told us the first time she came in. She said she worked in retail and very clearly had a knowledge about how our our terminals work. And so he just started laughing. It turns out like they figured it out. I guess it's being refunded or whatever. She didn't end up getting her order. Our store manager banned her from the store because of how like aggressive she got with us and how much of a scene she made. But that wasn't even close. That one wasn't even close to the one with the same TL where he almost got assaulted and I almost had to step in and like throw hands. Thankfully my TL backed away, did what he needed to do, and I just kind of mean mugged the guy and made sure he didn't get past the age gate. That story, I know you guys are going to be frothing at the mouth to hear that story, so I'm going to get to that story. I think this might be the last story I tell you. I'll just probably gloss over some customers, but this one, this couple came in. This young guy and this young girl came in. And my TL went to the age gate to go ID them. And they weren't even giving him ID at first. They just wanted to know if we even had bong cleaner. And by law, we can't answer that question, even though it's technically just glass cleaner. Like, it's used for bongs, but it's technically glass cleaner. But by law, we're not allowed to give them that information until we've confirmed that they're 19 or older. And they weren't giving us their IDs. So my TL kept saying, like, I can't answer that until you give me your ID. And he, like, this, like, the guy, it wasn't much of the girl. The girl was very quiet, very, like, just kind of to herself, kind of just watching her boyfriend do her do his thing. He was, like, making a big deal about it, saying, like, you know, basically cussing my TL out and saying, fine, I'll fucking give you my ID. So both of them showed that they were, like, 19 and older. Turns out the guy is, like, 34. The girl's 19. It was confirmed they're boyfriend and girlfriend because he was calling her babe. Already fucking red flags, gross as fuck as is. So he comes in, comes up to the till, asks if we have bong cleaner. My TL checks the system. We don't. He says, I don't know why you just couldn't answer that question at the door. And so my TL very kindly is trying to explain, like, I can't do that until I confirm that you guys are of age. And he's like, but it's glass cleaner. He's like, I understand that, but still, it's in our store. Our store is a place where you need to be 19 or older to actually enter and purchase things and look at things. Unless you're, like, you know, a child that's strapped to a car, you know, a stroller or something. And he tried to, like, he was kindly explaining that. And so this dude started raising his voice, saying, like, it's fucking bullshit and how, like, it's fucking disrespectful that my TL even asked for his ID. And my TL was kindly explaining, like, I didn't know that you were, like, 34, sir. You know, I didn't know that you were of age or not. He straight up said, there's teenagers that look your age, so I have to ID them just to make sure so I'm not getting a fine. I'm not letting people underage in. And he straight up said, and your girlfriend is, like, just on the cusp of 19. So, like, it was a good thing I did check her ID, and that pissed him off even more. And he, like, got my fucking, my TL's face, tried to walk over to the other side of the POS, and I walked over and kind of, like, stopped him. I said, I'm like, you need to leave. He's like, yeah, and who's going to make me? And fucking my TL looked at him and said, both of us. If it takes both of us to get you to leave, we'll get you to leave. And he also mentioned that we have a panic button. And he's like, I'm going to press it. And so as soon as he said that, like, as soon as my TL mentioned, I'm going to press the panic button, Buddy started walking back to the age gate. And then he, like, turns back around and starts cussing us out. My TL's following him to make sure he leaves. I'm following to make sure nothing happens to my TL. I stand behind the age gate desk just to make sure that, you know, nothing's happening. But to make it look like I'm not, like, actually, like, following, I'm, like, you know, cleaning everything up. Because that's literally what I was doing. I didn't have to be at the front. I was mainly supposed to be in the back vault cleaning things up. But I was pretending to clean things up in the front to make sure my TL had some backup. And so it was a good thing I did. Because when I went up to where the age gate desk was, he turned right back around, got into my TL's face, started yelling at my TL's face, poking him in the chest, like, got physically aggressive with him, told him he was gonna fucking beat the shit out of him. And so my TL warned him and said, like, you need to leave now or we'll make you leave and the cops will be called. And he basically, like, called his bluff and said, do it, call the fucking cops, call the cops. So my TL was like, okay, turned around, started walking out. Or started walking towards the desks where the panic button was, and he didn't press the panic button, but he pretended to, and he yelled over to the age gate where I was just standing mean mugging this guy, and he just yelled. He's like, "Sir, I've pressed the panic button. The cops are being dispatched. You can either stay or leave. That's your decision." And he got so mad. He's like, "This is fucking bullshit. I'm not coming back here again." Took our age gate sign that tells you, like, please have your ID ready, threw it down to the ground. Kind of lunged towards the age gate at me, so I, like, started walking around the age gate desk at him, but it was more so me picking up the sign, but I like, had my chest puffed out, ready to fight, kind of walking towards him. He turned right around and fucking hightailed it out of there quick with his girlfriend, and all I was doing was fixing the sign, so I just fixed the sign, grabbed the broken piece that fell off of it, put it back on, and, yeah, ended up banning that guy. Haven't seen him since. And I think that was, like, the last crazy story I had with that TL before he quit. And again, if he's listening to this, I really hope he's doing incredible. I hope he's doing his best, and I honestly hope life's doing incredible things for him. But some customers that I do love. There's one customer that I don't like who comes in and is the biggest narcissist ever. Goes into all of our locations, tries to get in without his ID. Says that the owners know him, but the owners don't know him. The owners actually fucking hate him, but just deal with him because he hasn't done anything too bad to get banned. Has shown up high as fuck on DMT to our stores before and almost got kicked out because of it. has tried to bring up my marriage because he got mad at me because I kept telling him we don't have certain things he was reading off of a piece of paper instead of our actual menu. He's also the type of guy who can show up last minute and will literally read off the entire menu to waste time just so he can fuck you over because he's that type of guy. Just don't like him. But for those two, because there's another one who's just a complete sleazeball. I don't like people like that. But for those two assholes, there's so many amazing customers. I have customers come in and I will have full-on conversations with them sometimes, especially when I'm at the one location where I work by myself and I have a lot of downtime on my hands. Customers come in, they talk to me. I will literally have full-fledged conversations with them. And I love it. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. It's not a bad job, but those are just some of the crazier stories I've had. I've got some other stories, but they're not even close to as crazy as those two or three that kind of came to mind. The first one wasn't too crazy. It was just the first brush with a crazy customer. But the other two I've just shared were the craziest that I've dealt with so far. There was a moment recently where I was kind of threatened, and as soon as I kind of gave the guy who threatened me the kind of what the fuck did you say to me look, his friend kind of got really panicked and said no, it's good, trying to explain to his buddy no, we don't need to come back, because two things were going to happen if Buddy came back for words. Because those were his words. He's like, if we don't like it, we're coming back for words. Two things were going to happen almost most likely simultaneously after each other. In said order, he was going to get the shit beat out of him while his buddy watched. And it would have been hilarious because this guy was 2 inches taller than me, built like a fucking new sapling, like a new planted sapling. I'm not kidding. Arms were skinnier than fucking toothpicks. But he was going to get his shit pushed in by me because I may be small, but I've wrestled, I box, I'm not kind of the person to trifle with unless you're, way heavier or you have cauliflower ear, then yeah, you'd beat my ass in a heartbeat. But he was going to get his ass beat, and then the cops were going to be called because, yeah, I just got threatened in my place of work. But yeah, I think that was maybe the other craziest thing that's happened so far, but that wasn't even close to crazy, because it kind of got toned down the moment I kind of gave them a look, and then that was that. But yeah, that was it. Those are some of the craziest stories I've had so far working at the company that I'm working at. I'm sure as the podcast goes on, there will be more to tell because, with the type of fucking industry that I'm in, you get your fucking crackheads and then you get your normal people. And, they're kind of 50-50 in that regard. But anyway, let's move on to the second part of the podcast, because I have made this first half way too fucking long. Sorry to the MMA fans who have been wanting to hear me talk about Dana White's contender series and stuff. That's coming. Just one second. You know what's coming next. A message from our sponsor, Dubby. Before we get into the podcast, I just want to talk to you guys about my new sponsor, Dubby. What is Dubby? Dubby is a powdered energy drink that is actually a clean energy drink that's made to give you a focus with no crash or jitters or any angst that the other energy drinks on the market give you. They're also made with no maltodextrin fillers. They don't use any artificial dyes or any coloring, anything like that. And on top of that, Dubby contains vitamins, amino acids, nootropics, and caffeine that keeps you going. And on top of that, it's gluten-free. So if you're worried about your gluten intake, it's okay. These guys got you covered. And if you're worried about it coming out of a facility that's not FDA approved or FDA inspected, these guys, they're doing it legit. Their product's made in an FDA inspected facility and their product is FDA approved. So if you want to try any of these awesome flavors, because let's be honest, I'm about to tell you this, their flavors are all unique. You're not going to find a flavor anywhere else, only here at Dubby. So if you want to try three of their awesome new flavors in a starter pack with your own mixer cup, go on their website, pick the starter pack. It's $14.99. If you want to get 10% off of it, use Dillo's Dojo at checkout. That's DILLOSDOJO at checkout for 10% off. Once again, I want to thank Dubby for sponsoring the podcast. Anyway, enjoy your Dubby drink if you manage to use my code. Let's get back to the fights, folks. All right, we're back. So this second half of the podcast is probably going to be a bit quicker. Mainly because I've already like went way over the allotted time for the first half telling stories. I need to stop doing that. If I'm going to tell stories, I should probably just keep it to one story. But I hope you guys enjoyed that first half of the podcast. I'm a terrible storyteller, I know. I apologize. But I thought it'd be a good idea. Kind of a, you know, a different type of tone compared to the last 2 weeks. But anyway, let's get into the fights that happened this weekend, or this past weekend, and the fights that are going to be happening. Not this weekend, yet there's no fights happening this weekend for UFC, but next weekend. That doesn't mean that we're not getting any fights, though. This weekend, we've got one championship. I believe Bellator's happening. We've got PFL happening this weekend. We've got, obviously, some regional shit like LFA, Cage Fury, stuff like that. Cage Warriors is happening. So we've got quite a bit, but no UFC. But to start things off, before we get into last weekend's event, let's talk about last night's Dana White's Contender Series. So, last week, apparently, only, it was what, four people got awarded contracts? This week, six people got awarded contracts. One winner didn't get his contract, but to make up for it, one loser took his contract, and then another loser got a contract for an extra contract to be given out. So we'll get into that. Starting with the bantamweights, Victor Hugo Madrigal versus Vinicius Oliveira. My fucking word, these guys swung and just fucking gave her from the start to when the knockout happened. But there was a huge factor in this fight that led to the finish. And it was the fact that Oliveira just had way more power in his hands. Was picking apart Madrigal. Madrigal was landing some good shots, but Oliveira was landing in volume. And that volume had power. Absolute power. And that translated because 3 minutes and 2 seconds into the first round, as they're swinging in the center, Oliveira lands a left hook as he's moving out away. That just lands, doesn't land clean, but lands with such power that it just shuts the lights clean off. Like, I mean, stiffens Hugo out, like stiffens Madrigal out. And once he hits the ground, he's just splayed out like he's fallen asleep. Like, he's out cold. It was a vicious knockout. What a way to start the night, too. Because then we got a women's flyweight bout. Last week, the flyweight bout was kind of shit. Last week it was a strawweight bout, but this week, though, the women's bout was fucking insane. We had two strikers that didn't want to grapple, gave it their all, landed, and like it was just nonstop action back and forth. There was not a lull in action unless there was like, you know, time between rounds. Both women gave it their all. Ultimately, Ernesta can't pronounce her fucking name. I couldn't even pronounce her name last night, and I was so surprised with it's like Caricotti, something like that. Ernesta. We're just gonna call her Ernesta because I can't pronounce that fucking name, and I'm not gonna bother butchering it. But Ernesta won with a very close split decision. It could have went to either woman, and my god, it was amazing. It was such a great fight. And then like if that wasn't enough, man. It may have been like a one-sided fight on the judges' scorecards, but holy fuck. The fight between Danny Silva and Angel Pacheco, holy fucking shit. These guys gave it. These guys were banging. Both guys had power. Both guys were dropping each other, but Danny Silva was just piecing them up, landing more power, dropping them more. Almost finished the fight a couple times, but my god, these guys fought so fucking hard. It was such a fucking brawl. Both of them ended up in the hospital after the fight. Danny Silva couldn't even make the winner's circle for like the end of the night. He had to go to the hospital. Both guys had to end up attending the hospital because of how fucking much of a war it was. But alas, as every contender series night has been this whole year, where we get like three amazing fights in a row, there's always got to be a heavyweight fight that fucking ruins it. The last couple weeks, that's how it's been. Okay, maybe not like heavyweight, because last week it was the women's strawweight fight that ruined it. But like almost always, it's a heavyweight fight that ruins it. And the fight between Mario Pison and Alexander Soldotkin was fucking boring. Mario Pjatson just literally held him there the whole time, whether it was against the cage or on the ground. There was zero fucking offense. There was literal pity punches thrown, and that was about it. Like, that was the most it got to. Like, it was pathetic. They were pathetic. It was just constant fucking laying and praying. I'm not kidding. And that's not how you win a contract in the Contender Series. But thankfully, the MMA gods and the commission and the judges and the ref decided they saw enough. They didn't want to see any more. And as Mario Pjatson tried to get Soldotkin down to the ground, he landed some knees that apparently Soldotkin was a grounded opponent. Mind you, Soldotkin was in the exact same position that Shevchenko was in against Grasso a couple weekends ago, and they labeled that legal. But they ended up stopping the fight and ended up ruling it a disqualification. Or no, it was Soldotkin that ended up getting the knees to the face. But he wasn't a grounded opponent. He was as grounded as Shevchenko was a couple weekends ago. Unfortunately, the DQ happened. Pjatson got the win via disqualification, but it was a boring fight. Both guys didn't want it. I'm glad they didn't even like Pjatson didn't even show up to the winner's circle because like he didn't deserve it. However, Danny Barlow came in and said, "I feel bad for y'all. That was a terrible co-main event. Let me fix this." And Raheem Forrest and Danny Barlow, for the 1 minute and 19 seconds that they fought, literally fucking gave it. Like, they both threw with just an amount of explosiveness that you'd expect from fucking featherweights, bantamweights, and these guys are welterweights. They were landing with such explosiveness and power that, like, every shot that landed or was even checked, like, made me cringe because of how loud the fucking impact was. But ultimately, Danny Barlow, with the explosiveness and the power of a fucking absolute, like, enraged bear, holy shit. And then the speed of a gorilla with hands, man. Like, the speed that Danny Barlow's got is insane. Dana said it best last night when he was announcing all the winners that Danny Barlow deserves to be in the UFC, but he needs to work on his control and, you know, hit, like, managing his cardio. But, like, he's got the makings to be a killer. Danny Barlow is a killer. He's got explosiveness. He's got power in every limb of his fucking body. He's got great grappling, but his stand-up is super accurate, super explosive, super powerful, super quick. Like, super quick. I'm telling you, like, they were hands of, like, what is something that has fast hands? I don't know. They were quick. They were fast. They were so fucking fast, man. Like, it was insane. 79 seconds was all it took Danny Barlow to finish the fight via TKO after landing some nice body shots. He mixed it up very well as well. Like, I have to give it to Danny Barlow. He mixed it up, landed some beautiful headshots that had Raheem Forrest doing the Stanky leg, but it was ultimately the body shots that opened up more headshots to lead to the TKO. It was just a beautiful fucking sequence. I can't say it better myself. But anyway, going to the winners, like the ones that got their contracts announced. First off, Vinicius de Oliveira. Let's be real here. That was a no-brainer. The moment he knocked out Madrigal and somehow pulled out a pen in the cage, I'm pretty sure Dana was like, "I'm signing that guy. Like, yeah, we need to have him in the bantamweight division." The guy is 19 and 3 with explosive power like that, 14 knockouts, like 3 submissions. It's insane. 17 of his 19 wins are finishes. We need somebody like that in the bantamweight division. And then Ernesta versus Giudice. Whoo! Both girls got the contract because what a war that was. What a war that was. My fucking word. And then same thing. Danny Silva and Angel Pacheco both get their contracts because it was a war. They're like, Dana said it best last night for both fights. He's like, it's one of those fights that, like, both guys win. Like, both people win. They wanted it so bad and put on such a good show that even though one guy lost, both of them win. Dana straight up said he's giving Giudice and Pacheco their win bonuses and signing them to the UFC, which was, like, an awesome thing to hear. It was fucking wonderful. And then, obviously, like I said, Piazza got completely glossed over. Danny Barlow, Dana said it best last night. He needs work working on his control of his explosions and his cardio, but, like, he's got everything. And he definitely deserves to get a shot in the UFC. He is definitely what the welterweight division needs. Like, my God, man. Oh, it was like, I'm smiling ear to ear as I'm recording this, thinking about the finish. It was brutal. It was violent. It was the same thing about the Oliveira finish. Like, God, that knockout was so beautiful. Like, I'm smiling thinking about it. I am a fucked up person. I smile when I see knockouts because it's an art to me. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. The art of mixed martial arts is such a gorgeous art, and I love it. But that's it for Dana White's Contender Series. We still have 2 weeks left. So next week we've got a night that I'm going to have to cover. And then we'll cover October 10th, so the week after that. So episode 61 should be the final Dana White's Contender Series episode for the year. And then, like clockwork, come August. I think it's August. They start August, right? I think it's August. Beginning of August. Yeah, beginning of August. Next year, like clockwork, I'll cover each night again. Because I love doing it. I love watching it. It's something to do at work, too. Like, when it's the downtime and I've done everything I need to do. And it's that, like, that hour or so period between, like, the little, like, housekeeping things I have to do. Because I schedule my night at the one store that I work at because it's so dead. So, like, when it's in between that time, it's awesome because I get to watch. I get to watch, like, everything. And so, like, it gives me something to do. So I really enjoy doing these. So I'm going to be very upset come October 10th when it's the last night for the year, but I'm okay with it. Next week, we've got a couple fights, a flyweight fight, welterweight, light heavyweight, bantamweight, and light heavyweight. Again, flyweight between Lucas Rocha and Davi Bittencourt, a welterweight fight between Mauricio Ruffi and Raymond Magomedaliev, a light heavyweight fight between Jose Daniel Medina and Magomed Gadziazulov. Bantamweight fight in the co-main event between Eduardo Matias Torres versus Victor Hugo Silva. Another Victor Hugo in the bantamweight division. That's fucking hilarious. And then the light heavyweight main event between Murtaza Taha and Rodolfo Bellotto, which is going to be pretty fun. I can't wait for that. And then October 10th, we have a bantamweight fight between Ramon Tavares versus Cortavius Ramonis, or Romeus, sorry. Flyweight fight between Hickson Tai Zadim versus Andre Lima. A lightweight fight between Issa Isakov and Markel Medeiros. Featherweight fight between Connor Matthews and Yair Farias, which is huge. The co-main event and the main event for October 10th are actually, they actually involve two people from Combat Zone, and they actually just were on Looking for a Fight. So Connor Matthews was on Looking for a Fight. He won his fight in Combat Zone. Dana was like, I want to give you a shot on Dana White's Contender Series. And then the other guy, the main event, middleweight fight between Torres Finney and Yuri Panferov. Yuri Panferov is an absolute monster of a prospect at middleweight. Can handle adversity, has a great ground game, very tight submission game. Gonna be a fun fight. I can't wait for October 10th. So the next 2 weeks are going to be pretty fucking awesome. I can't wait to cover them. You know I love Dana White's Contender Series night. Tuesday nights are wonderful nights until after October 10th. Anyway, let's move on to UFC because I know you guys are frothing at the bit to hear about last week's results. So the main card, Charles Jourdain beat Ricardo Ramos via a very tight guillotine in the first round. And so it was a great fight, but Ramos definitely needs work on submission defense. Charles Jourdain, though, man, that grappling off his back is a danger. And I always forget how dangerous he is off his back, because when he's in the cage, he opts to be a very dynamic striker, because he comes from a primarily like striking background. But I always forget how good his grappling off the back is. So Charles Jourdain beat Ricardo Ramos via a very tight guillotine, 3 minutes and 12 seconds in round one. And then we got another one, a rear naked choke, another submission, though. Brian Battle, since winning the Ultimate Fighter, has been doing wonderful things. He's in his UFC tenure, he's only got one loss. In the four fights he's won four, right? Yeah. In the four fights he's won, he's gotten three knockouts, one submission. Two of those knockouts have been within the first 30 seconds of the fight. His most recent one before this submission was a 19-second knockout. So that's that. So him beating AJ Fletcher in the way he did in the second round after kind of feeling out the process and taking what AJ Fletcher had was wonderful. And like more and more, I'm seeing Brian Battle improve. Like, it's wonderful to look at, and it's honestly a treat to watch. I was particularly a fan of Brian Battle because he was a younger guy. He's like my brother's age. Already had like a young, like 3-year-old, clearly was just a family man, very down to earth, even on the show. Like, he was just like, I'm just here to do my thing. I'm a goofy guy that loves to just like be there, be party animal, but also take my shit seriously. And like, he just seemed like a chill, like chill, what's up, bro, kind of guy. And you know, the way he fights, it's completely polar opposite in the cage, and I love it. It's awesome. But yeah, what a submission, man. And then if that wasn't enough to feed your finish lust, your bloodlust, Marino Rodriguez put on the most brutal striking clinic I have ever seen on Michelle Waterson, mixed in with a little bit of grappling because Michelle Waterson would try to take it to the ground. But Marino Rodriguez, man, just putting the fucking work on Michelle Waterson Gomez. I'm saying that because she's married, by the way. We all know it's Michelle Waterson. But yeah, the karate hottie just eating shot after shot after shot, to the point where in the first round, it actually looked very, very, very close to being stopped. Like, the ref honestly had the grounds to stop it. No one would have been mad if he stopped it either. Like, actually, there was a couple people on Twitter at that moment that were a little upset that he had not stopped it. But holy fuck, the second round comes, same thing. It's literally like clockwork. Michelle Waterson tries to get takedowns. Marina Rodriguez defends them with ease, beats the fucking shit out of her on the feet, like to the point where Michelle Waterson's face was completely drenched in blood. Like, it was brutal. It was a beat down and a half. It was just a fucking display of violence, a complete striking clinic. After a while, Marina Rodriguez had her up against the cage and forced the ref to step in because there was nothing that Michelle Waterson could do. It was just, it was a beatdown. Like, that is the best way I could put it, and the nicest way I could put it was just, it was a beatdown. It was a brutal beatdown. And that leads us to the co-main event in what was a battle, but ultimately very one-sided when it came to the grappling department. Danny Ige has great grappling, but Bryce Mitchell's Brazilian jiu-jitsu, man, is just something else. But the main talk of the town, or the whole talk of the fight, was before and after the fight. Before the fight, Bryce comes in with a Bible in hand as Joe. Joe saying their names, like, you know, introducing them. And as he's introducing Bryce Mitchell, he walks up to the fucking center of the octagon with a Bible, like, held up into the air in, like, the style of, like, the power of Christ compels you type shit. And he's just screaming at the top of his lungs, freedom! And it was the funniest shit I have ever seen. It was wonderful. And then they went to war. It was awesome. It was such a fun fight to watch. It was exactly how I expected it. A little bit more grappling heavy than I expected, but it was exactly the way I thought. You know, it was going to be a back and forth. But then after the fight, oh, Bryce's post-fight speech is just gold. It's fucking gold. And it's not, it's comedy gold in the sense that he was being serious. He goes up to Dan Ige as he's getting interviewed. And he's like, he tells Dan to pray with him. And Dan's like, no, thank you. And fucking Bisping comes up to like, I'm sorry, I can't help but think about it and chuckle. But like, Bisping comes up to fucking interview him. And Bryce, before he says anything, says, hold on, brother, please let Dan pray. After Dan straight up said, no, thank you. And Dan says, no, thank you again after he says that. So then Bisping like tells him like, no, it seems like Dan doesn't want to pray. So how'd you think of your performance? Bryce goes on this long tangent, goes on about like how he expected that performance to go the way he did. But Dan's a dog. Dan's an animal. And then like goes on about how he's going to be donating his win money or something like that, or $5,000 from his win money. To a charity to fight Satan and what he's doing to Hawaii right now. And I'm just, when I was sitting there watching it live, I just was laughing my fucking ass off because it was fucking, it was amazing. It was hilarious. He's just, and he was 100% serious too. He's talking about how Satan burnt down Hawaii and telling Dan to pray. And, like, telling Bisping to let Dan pray, even though Dan doesn't want to pray. And it was just the funniest fucking thing ever. And then, like, the cherry on top is Dan Ige very politely both times saying, no, thank you. Oh, it was just beautiful, man. Oh, we needed it because how the night ended, man, was just so upsetting. It's the main event. We're about to get a lightweight banger, a striker's wet dream. A little bit of wrestling involved because Gamro has great wrestling. But, like, both guys love to stand and bang. Both guys have power. Both guys are very dynamic strikers as well. It was going to be a fun fight. And the first round was literally leading up to that. Fiziev just landing leg kicks over and over. Gamro landing his shots. It was very back and forth, very high-paced, very action-packed. Looked good. Could have been scored either way. Some people had it 10-9 Fiziev in the first round. Some people had it 10-9 Gamro in the first round. However, a freak accident ends up happening in the second round. They're, you know, going back and forth, striking, landing some bombs. Fiziev's landing his patent and fucking crazy Muay Thai kicks, his explosive like leg kicks and stuff like that. And then when he goes to land one, completely misses and overextends. And his knee just buckles, just pops, just blows. His ACL tore. Mid-kick, as the kick overextended when it was coming up, his ACL tore. And forced to stop to the fight. It gave Gamro the TKO, but that leads the question, should it have been? Because Fiziev arguably was winning the fight 1-0. And it was a back-and-forth round where it really couldn't have been scored for either guy. Like, it was very close. Is it really, like, it would be different if, you know, Fiziev landed a leg kick and Gamro checked it and Fiziev broke his leg. That would be like, okay, it's a TKO because that was from me. You know, I did that. Me blocking that did that. Physical contact with me did that. So it technically is a TKO. But is it really ethical to label a freak injury a TKO? Like, you know, somebody twisting wrong and blowing their knee out mid-fight and then them not being able to continue. They're not eating any shots or anything. They're just, the doctor says they can't continue. Is that, like, is that ethical to count as a TKO? Because in my opinion, it's not. Stuff like doctor stoppages, you know, breaks from, like, leg checks or, you know, kick checks and stuff, that makes sense. Because that's done by the other fighter. You know what I mean? Like, the doctor stoppage is usually done because of damage caused by the other fighter. A leg break caused by a check or a leg kick is caused through physical contact from that opponent. So, like, those count. But should a freak injury, like, I think it should be labeled a no contest. And then, like, a rematch should happen when Fiziev's all better. I wish Fiziev a speedy recovery. I just don't like how they labeled it. That's all. But that's that. I know y'all are probably expecting, you know, oh yeah, here's UFC for this week. There's no UFC this week, like I said earlier. So I'm going to tell you guys about next week's UFC, because we don't get one this week. There is one championship, though, and that's really exciting. I don't remember the full card off by heart, but I know for a fact that Stamp Fairtex is fighting for her strawweight title. Or, yeah, strawweight? Or is it atomweight? I'm not about to Google search it in the middle of the podcast. She's fighting for her title, and it's going to be a huge one. It's going to be on Amazon Prime. I'm probably going to end up watching it on Friday, to be honest, because I have the night off. And, yeah, why not? There's PFL as well. I'm definitely going to be catching Cage Warriors and all that. There's just a lot of regional stuff happening this weekend as well. So it's not like there isn't any fights, just not UFC. Will I be talking about it next week? Oh, yeah, I will be talking about the regional stuff next week. That being said, I think the bulk of the second half of the podcast next week is probably going to be, you know, Dana White's Contender Series, because that's like the only UFC that happened. But next week, next Saturday, we are getting, excuse me, that was embarrassing. We are getting Grant Dawson versus Bobby Green. A very odd main event, but nonetheless, I think Grant Dawson is about to get a lick back for his opponent, or his teammate, Tony Ferguson. Co-main event, though, Joe Pyfer versus Abdul Razak Al-Hassan. I'm honestly, genuinely thinking they're really trying to push Joe Pyfer. After he did his Be Joe Pyfer speech like last year, they've really been trying to push him every time he fights. They've really been trying to push that Be Joe Pyfer quote. They're putting him in like top tier main card spots. I remember like his last fight, he was on the main card of a pay-per-view. This time he's co-main eventing a fucking fight night. Like, what's next? Is he going to get a fight night main event? Like, they're really trying to push Joe Pyfer. But, like, honestly, the main event and the co-main event are bangers. Abdul Razak Al-Hassan always brings bangers. He's like an enraged fucking grizzly bear being let out of his cage, hungry, always looking for a kill. And Joe Pyfer, same thing. Absolute fucking grizzly bear looking for a finish with a chin to match, man. It's awesome. But then if that wasn't enough, we also get Alex Morono versus Joaquin Buckley. Alex Morono is an all-around mixed martial artist with an absolute chin, and just, he's a dog. Joaquin Buckley is a explosive and dynamic striker, and I think that one is going to be a fucking baller. Drew Dober is returning after getting knocked the fuck out by Matt Frivola against Rick Glenn. That one's going to be a banger. Felipe Lins and Ion Cutaleba is going to be a fucking baller, and to start the fucking main card off, Alex Hernandez versus Bill Algeo, man. Like, all of those fights are just straight up fire. That main card is going to be wonderful. I, for one, can't wait for it. But anyway, that's it for this week's episode. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I hope you guys enjoyed the little stories that I told at the beginning of the podcast. If there's anything that you guys would love about that, like, I'm going to leave a poll for Spotify listeners and anybody who like wants to hop over to Spotify to answer the poll. Like, do you guys like those stories? Like, do you want to hear more life stories? They don't particularly have to be work stories. They could be stories from my childhood, stories from like my high school days, stories from like as recent as like my adult years, like me moving out for the first time, stuff like that. Like, do you guys want to hear stories? Because like, I can tell more stories from my life. I'm only 26, but like, a lot has happened. I've done some stupid shit that make for pretty fun stories. So, like, let me know. Like, honestly, let me know in the poll, yes or no, if you guys want to hear more of these stories. Because, honestly, I enjoy telling them. If you guys enjoy hearing them, oh, I would love to tell more of them. I have plenty. So, anyway, that's it for this week's episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope you guys enjoyed the stories I told at the beginning of the episode. I will see you guys next episode for episode 60, I believe. And with that, I hope all of you have a wonderful rest of your week. See you guys.
You've been listening to the Dillo's Dojo podcast. Keep in touch with Dillo on his social media at Dillo Ross on Twitter and Dillo Ross on Instagram.